about some of the things that have been happening. Marina has covered most of the things that have gone on this past year in Ivory Coast, Burkina, Senegal, Mozambique, South Africa, and it's a thrill for us to be able to serve the Lord in this way and being involved in village work and also to help other missionaries who are involved in missionary work across Africa as well. And Marina was talking about crossing the weir, and it was about maybe 200 or 300 meters wide, and it was this little concrete path underneath the water, so we had to drive across, and there was a little twist in it, and Marina said that she sat in the back and didn't say a word. Now that was an experience for me. Just for, I didn't say anything there. So but we praise the Lord for the safety that we've had. We will be traveling again across water on boats and sometimes canoes and sometimes ferries that have gone down in the past. But we just appreciate your prayers for us. We appreciate the decades, 34 years or so, and that the church has been behind us in the ministry that God has called us to in Africa, and we just thank you for the support that you've been to us and for your prayers. And just I want to cover just a couple of things briefly. I was going to mention about the churches in the Laurent people group. That's the people that we work with. We don't use the word tribe a whole lot in Africa anymore. It has a negative connotation. And so we're using the word people group. We're being politically correct in our usage of terms. But we just thank the Lord for how he has worked in that particular group of people. And it's just a thrill to our hearts to see a people group coming out of, I mean, literally darkness, just having no concept of who God is, what God has done for them, never heard of Christ, never heard of the Word of God. And for them to hear the gospel and now to be engaged themselves in teaching other people. And they have heard the gospel and they've taken that and they've gone and they're going and reaching out to other villages, even to other people groups, other tribal groups, as we call them, in the area, and explaining the gospel and starting in Genesis and helping people to get a grasp of who God is. So the work is expanding through the believers themselves. We don't have to be there anymore for evangelism as such. We're there for discipleship. We're there to encourage, to help them to grow and mature in the Word of God, to get help them to come to a clear understanding of their responsibilities so that they can continue teaching others, whether it's in literacy or in Bible teaching or even in Bible translation. And I just want to mention a little bit about Bible translation. You know that we've been engaged in that for quite a long time. It's a very slow process. It takes a lot of time to do your study, to understand what the scripture says, and then to actually translate it into another language that isn't my first language. And so we have trained some of the Laurent believers to help us in that process. And a year ago, we brought a consultant, a translation consultant, an African guy. He came up and spent about 10 days with us in our village. I had already taught some of the guys some principles involved in Bible translation. But this fellow came in and lived in the village with us and spent every day going over with the Laurent Christians and helping them to get a grasp of how to translate the Word of God. And some of these Laurent guys can speak some French now, so they're reading in French. We have helped them with computers and a computer, and they're working and they're studying. There are commentaries on the computer, and they can study. And so they're actually in the process. The Laurent Christians are now, there's a group of them now engaged in Bible translation themselves. So that actually frees us up. It means that we can be there whenever we can have the time to be in the village, but we can also travel and help and encourage our missionaries around West Africa. So the believers themselves are now involved in Bible translation, and they want the whole Bible. They're not happy with the New Testament. We were thinking New Testament, but they're thinking, no, That's only part of it. We want the whole Bible, so that's why we've gone through this process of training them. So seven folks, six men and one lady, took the course in Bible translation principles, and three of them are engaged pretty much. Well, one's engaged full time, and there are two others who are engaged part time, but they're working on the Gospel of Matthew at the minute. So please be praying for those guys as they translate the Word of God into their own language. And the other folks who have taken the training are helping. Once they've translated it, the other people are taking it and checking it and making sure that everything is in order. But it's a huge project for them. And Marina mentioned literacy and the translation, and we also want to develop Bible lessons. We have Bible lessons developed, but we need to print them, and so we're hoping that we can develop a project where we can help these Laurent Christians to continue the work, to help the work go forward under their own strength. And you can be praying for the three Bible translators. There's Donald. They all have English-sounding names because they've taken Christian names, what they think are Christian names. Now, Donald, I have no idea where they got that one from. But Donald, Samuel, and Jeremiah. Well, Jeremy is Jeremy in French. But those three guys, if you can remember even one of them and pray for them, Donald, Samuel, and Jeremy, and think, pray for all of them, if you remember all three names, just pick one and pray for them and ask the Lord to give them wisdom and give them understanding so that they can translate the Word of God into their own language. So we thank you again for your prayers, for the encouragement that you've been to us over the years. And just want to, we've got a few minutes left here, 15 minutes, and I know we're going to have the Lord's Supper after we finish, but just want to take a few minutes and look at a few verses that I've been thinking about over this past few weeks. We were at the children's meeting a couple of weeks ago, had a really, really good time with the children, and we looked at some verses there, and we were talking about missionary work, and we were talking about the responsibility that we as Christians have to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and the kids memorized one of the verses of that. But there's in Matthew chapter 28, and if you open your Bibles at Matthew 28, we'll read a couple of verses here at the end of the chapter that we looked at with the kids for a few minutes. But there was a little phrase in the middle of this that I just want to talk about this morning. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. Matthew 28, 18 and 19. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And that's around the word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We praise you for how you have worked in West Africa. And we just thank you for what you've done. And we just ask this morning, as we look at that word, Father, that you just help us to understand clearly who you are, what you've done for us, and just draw our hearts to your word and help us to gain strength and encouragement. And help us to focus on the things that are important and just realize that you are with us in everything that we do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we looked at the verses with the kids, we were focusing on the responsibility to bring the gospel to those who have never heard. But I just want, for a few minutes this morning, I just want to look at this little phrase at the end of chapter verse 20. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that little phrase, I am with you always, I am with you. And it's not a promise, a conditional promise, if you do this or if you do that, I'll be with you. It's lo, I am with you always. And God is with us in everything that we do. Now, whenever you start a new job or a new project or something, it's always exciting to start something new. Whenever it's coming to the end of the project or whatever we were doing, it's a thrilling experience to finish something off. But there's a lot of work and projects that go on in between. And sometimes it can get very discouraging. It can get very disheartening whenever we face the problems, whenever we realize that we have to overcome obstacles. And a lot of times we are tempted to quit. And the Lord wants to encourage us with the fact that no matter what the situation we're in, that the Lord is with us and He will give us the strength and the encouragement that we need to continue on. And Paul experienced this in Acts chapter 18, whenever he had left Athens and he had gone to Corinth. And in Athens, it was a place where Paul probably enjoyed his ministry. He probably enjoyed being debating with the philosophers, and it was a very intellectually stimulating experience for him to be engaged with these people. But then he went on to Corinth, and that was a completely different situation. And Corinth itself was a port city, a trade city, and all the things that go along with it, the sin, the debauchery that took place in that city. And it was if you wanted to insult someone in Paul's day, if you wanted to insult someone, you would call them a Corinthian. And that was an insult to say that to someone. So Paul was in the midst of the ministry there and was facing problems, was facing obstacles. And in Acts chapter 18 and verse 9, there's a verse there that struck me as I was thinking of when Christ gave the command to his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he promised, "Lo, I am with you always." But it's a very similar promise comes up here when he was speaking to Paul. Acts 18, verse 9, he said, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." So this phrase, "I am with thee," in Matthew it's, "I am, lo, I am with you," and that's the plural. But here it's, the Lord is telling Paul, "I am with thee, I'm with you as you're engaged in your ministry. Be not afraid, but speak. And hold not thy peace." So he's telling them not to be afraid, as to say, and not be quiet, for I am with thee. And the Lord has given us all responsibility to bring the gospel to those who have never heard. We have to go to Africa. We go to Africa and spread the gospel. And people here need to have the courage, despite the obstacles, the opposition. People are skeptical and they don't want to hear, but we still have the responsibility to speak. But speak, be not afraid, and hold not thy peace. Now, be not afraid. If you look at Scripture, I have never found all of them, but someone has said that there are 366 occurrences of the phrase, be not afraid, or fear not, in Scripture. So that's one for every day of the year and an extra one for leap year, although it's got one day short. But there's plenty there, so we don't have to fear because God is with us. I am with thee. So we can go forward with peace, and we can know that God is with us. In Isaiah 26 verse 2, there's a verse that I cling to. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stead on thee. God will give us the peace that we need despite the obstacles, in spite of all the problems that we face. God is with us. He wants to encourage us and help us as we are engaged in serving Him, as we are involved with ministry, serving Him, whether it's being a minister in the church or a missionary or a children's worker or a youth worker. God wants to show us that He's with us. Now, how is the Lord with us? In what ways does the Lord show Himself to be with us? And we're going to look at, very, very briefly, we're going to look at five ways that the Lord is with us. First one, He is with us in His person. He is with us in who He is Himself. Now, Emmanuel means God with us. When Christ came the very meaning of the Lord Jesus is God with us, Emmanuel. So God is with us. Whenever a person trusts in Christ, whenever a person comes to the point where they recognize that they're lost before a holy God, and the only way that can be they can have eternal life or escape from the punishment of their sin is to trust in Christ. At that point, the Lord Jesus, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, indwells that person. There's a verse in Romans that talks about, it's Romans 8 verse 9, it says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." A person who does not have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling him or her, the Spirit of Christ indwelling him, they're not Christians. But God is with us in his person. He indwells us. He's the Spirit is the earnest of our salvation. It's the proof. It's the guarantee. It's the bill of sale that Christ is in us. He's at the down payment, the surety that we have eternal life. And as we think of Christ in us, the hope of glory, he's with us in his person. He is with us. And there are numerous examples of Christ encouraging Paul with the fact that he is with Paul through the various problems that he faced. Christ would come and encourage Paul, "I am with you," in Acts 27 and this one in Acts 18 that we're looking at. And there was an Acts 23 as well. There are examples of the Lord coming to Paul and said, "I'm with you in this. Christ in us." In 2 Timothy verse 4, Paul says that everyone has deserted me. He says, verse 16, "No man stood with me. All men forsook me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." So we're in the fight, we're in the battle to bring the gospel to those who have never heard, to teach the word of God, to preach the word of God, to build up the church, and the Lord is with us in his person. He was with Paul in the ministry that he was engaged in. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." The same with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Lord Jesus was the fourth man in the fire. The Lord is with us in his person. He's promised to be with us in the fire, through the fire, and through the water. He's with us. Lots of other verses we could mention there, but let's move on. He's with us in his person. He's with us in his people. He's with us through other Christians. He shows himself, the Lord shows himself through other Christians, through the lives of other Christians, through it's kind of like flesh and blood angels. The Lord has provided other Christians around us to show the Lord Jesus, show us that the Lord Jesus is with us through his people. We talk about the Apostle Paul, we talk about Peter, we talk about Spurgeon, and we talk about all the great evangelists and missionaries. But when you look at their lives, you'll see that there were many other Christians who were working in the background to help them to do the ministry that they were engaged in. The Lord is with us through his people. He's with us in his person, and he's with us in his people. So we can thank the Lord that he's with us in those aspects. And he wants us to realize that we're engaged in ministry, we're engaged in all the things that we're doing for the Lord, but people are there supporting us. And we as missionaries have been for 30 years in Africa almost, and we know that people have been praying for us, have been supporting us, they've been behind us, and we want to thank you for that. But God had promised that beforehand, that he would be with us through his people. The Apostle Paul had Priscilla and Aquila and Timothy and Titus and Silas and Justus and all these different people who were there helping him to fulfill the ministry that God had called him to. So thank the Lord for people who support us in the ministry that we're doing, whether it's with the young people or as a minister or as a missionary. We need to thank the Lord for the people that God has brought to us to help us to do the work that God has called us to do. He's with us in his person, in his people. He's with us in his providences. He's with us in the things that he brings into our life. The word providence means to see beforehand, pro video, to see something beforehand. God knows what's coming. He has everything under control. We don't think it sometimes. We think, what's happening here? I don't know what's happening. But the Lord has everything under His care, under His control. Ephesians 1 verse 11, He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Everything happens according to His plan. He knows the beginning from the end. Psalm 57 verse 2, it says, He performeth all things for me. Everything that comes into my life, the Lord has filtered it through to help to conform me to the image of Christ. That's why He brings hardship into my life. That's why He brings problems into my life, to take off the sharp edges. He's conforming us. Every Christian, God is working in our lives. He's conforming us to the image of His Son through His providences, through the things that He allows to enter into our lives. So the things that we worry about, the Lord already knows about them. He knows about the problems. He knows everything we face. And He wants us just to trust in Him. He's with us in His providences. Now, another one. He's with us in His power. We think of creation. God just spoke and it happened. The power that He displayed there, He has given to us to be involved in His work. He wants to use His power through our lives. He's with us in His power. But every effective Christian will face opposition. And God wants us to know that He will give us the strength. He will give us the wisdom. He will give us the ability that we need to perform the things that He wants us to perform. Paul came to people in fear and trembling, in weakness. He didn't come with fancy or complicated words. He came as he was to bring the gospel to people, and he left it to the Lord to work in people's lives. The God who had given him the power to preach the gospel, Paul left it to the Lord to use that word to bring people to Himself. We can do nothing without Christ. Last week we were looking at some of the verses, John 15, without me ye can do nothing. And then the converse is, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So we have no strength in ourselves. We might have natural ability in certain ways, but that isn't worth anything. It's only what God does through us that is of any use. But God in His power wants to work through us, and He's with us. I am with thee in my person. I am with thee in my people. I am with thee in my providences. I am with thee in thy power. And lastly, I am with thee in, He is with us in His promises. Acts 18, verse 9 again. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. The Lord's telling Paul, look, there are people here that are going to be saved. And we can go off on all sorts of stuff here. The Lord knows who's going to be saved, because He's the one who chose them in the first instance. But He wants to use us. He wants to work through our lives. And He's telling Paul, be not afraid. And this shows God's sovereignty, in a sense. I have much people in the city. The Lord had people in the city, or in the village, or in Portadown. And He could have saved them without Paul. He could have sent 10,000 angels to bring this gospel and tell people. But the Lord has given us the responsibility. He has given us the job to preach the gospel. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. God's going to work. If we bring His word, He's going to work. It might take time. We're going to visit. In the next couple of weeks, I'll be in Senegal and Burkina Faso. And I'm going to be visiting areas where missionaries have been working for 30 years, and they have two or three Christians. People who have become Christian. But the missionaries are still there. It's a long, drawn-out process for some of the works in West Africa because of the Muslim influence, because of the animism that's there. There's just resistance to the gospel. But God's with those people because God has For I have much people in this city, and there are, in Revelation, it talks about there'll be every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation in heaven. And we have a responsibility to bring the gospel to those who have never heard. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I have much people in the city. So he's with us in his promises. We can preach the gospel and know that there will be a result. We can share the word of God and we know that it will not return void, that God will accomplish the things that he wants to do through that word. Despite the opposition, the problems, God is going to work in spite of all the problems. God's with us in his promises. Spurgeon said, the promises of God read better in the furnace of affliction. The promises of God read better in the furnace of affliction. Sometimes when we're going through the hardships of life, we can cling to the Word of God. Some people will grab their telephone and call someone if they have a problem, but the thing to do is grab your Bible and cling to the promises of God, because the promises of God read better in the furnace of affliction. And God wants us to rest. He wants us to keep rest in Him, but keep serving and keep going forward. Christopher Columbus, you all know that great explorer. He went around and he sailed and he went, held off in one direction thinking he was going to a certain destination, but he ended somewhere else. But hey, that's not a problem, because a lot of never end up anywhere. At least Columbus got somewhere. And God wants us to move. You can't steer a bicycle that isn't moving. It has to be moving for you to steer it. And God wants us to start moving and start serving him and start doing things that bring honor and glory to his name. But as Columbus was crossing the Atlantic, his crew became antsy because they were going forever and there was no sight of land, and they were crossing, and there was no sign of progress day after day after day, and there was nothing. And Columbus wrote in his diary, and one of the phrases that kept cropping up, he would write, today we sailed on. And maybe the next day he wrote the same thing, today we sailed on, because nothing was happening. They were just going. And that's what missionary work can be like sometimes. You're just going, and there's no sign of anything. But God wants us to keep going. And Paul was in Corinth, and maybe he was facing things there, and maybe there was no response. And maybe he was writing in his diary, if he kept a diary, maybe he was saying, today we kept going. We need to keep going. We need to continue to bring the gospel to those who have never heard. God is with us in the work that he has called us to do. He's with us in his person. He's with us in his people. He's with us in his providences. He's with us in his power. He's with us in his promises. And he wants us to rest on him and to recognize that he can do what he wants to do, and he wants us to serve him. May God take these few thoughts and bless them to our hearts. May God bless his word this morning. Amen.